Something that Lord, you've heard this over and over and over and over again, but I want you to hear it again, because when I was a boy, everybody went to everybody's church except our church. But they weren't too far off from what we believed. And so I can't believe what I saw on television today. Amen. I can't believe it. I mean, and do you know that the American public and Christians, so-called Christians, TV announcers, radio announcers, movies, everybody are glorifying the Pope. Yes. Now, whenever the Lord heard them on two or three different occasions walking behind him disputing, he was way back, away from the front. They didn't think he heard him, but he could hear everything. And when he turned around to him, he said, "What was it that you disputed along the way?" And then they bowed their heads and said, for along the way, they had disputed who would be the greatest in the kingdom of God. Did you see how nice that man was? Did you see how brilliantly white he was? Did you see how kind he was? Did you see how wonderful he was? We Christians believe he's marvelous. But what he teaches is ungodly. Outside you see light, but inside there is darkness. You can't believe that we're supposed to worship the Virgin Mary, because that's darkness. And now he tells us that we ought to do something and just think about supporting the people that are here. Give to the poor, give to the poor, give to the poor, give to the poor, give to the poor. Judas Iscariot said, "Why was not this face sold and given to the poor?" And Jesus said, "The poor you have with you always, but me you have not always." You can give all you want to give to the poor and boast of it and think about it and get on television and tell people they ought to do more, 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 more. But inside you can be full of darkness. You say, "That man can't be full of darkness." Now I want to say this very carefully. He may not be full of darkness, but what he teaches is pure darkness. Amen. Because he teaches you can lose your salvation. He teaches you should worship the Virgin Mary, and he does. And they have statues all over the place there that they worship. And as for this business of needing to get along and loving our brothers and sisters in Christ, and he's pulling them right back into the Catholic Church. You think that pleases God? I mean, it's an abhorrence to God. Did you know the word messenger can be translated angel or messenger? He's a messenger, but he's not from God. Because what he teaches is not from God. And we've got a lot of messengers standing in pulpits that claim to be called of God, and they are not called of God. They're in this for the entirely the wrong reason, but how can you contend with that? How can you contend with that? I never thought it would come to this. And you better start praying, because the Catholics are going to be right on our tail along with the rest of the general public in this country. I guarantee you they will. You say, "How do you know that?" Who do you think it was that performed all those ungodly tasks in the Book of Martyrs? They took true Christian believers that were martyrs, and they took a pole and they ran it up a woman's crotch and pushed it out her chin. And they had crosses arranged all the way across France with martyrs on them. They were Catholics. And they taught to worship the Virgin Mary. And most of them that they persecuted were Baptists. You say, "Well, You're not worried about us going that way. No. But you better start praying. Because this country has gone to hell in a handbasket. And these people now are following the Pope around like he was God. And Jesus said, don't do that. He said, among yourselves, don't point somebody to be the head of the kingdom of God. And they lie. They say that the church over there is built on Peter's body. That's a blasphemous lie. They say Peter never was married. Now, how are you going to get around this? So listen, when you're watching all that stuff, if you're weak in the faith, you'll sit there and say, well, he's a pretty good old boy. Would you think if I was a pretty good old boy, if I taught that stuff in this church, you never would have called me in the first place? I'm not worried about you. You know the difference. Because if you didn't get me, you got Leonard Kenneth and John Holbrook. You know all that. But I'm going to go through this. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. How many times you heard me say, Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. How many times have I told you that? Go ye therefore and teach all nations that all power in heaven and earth is given unto Jesus. He didn't say you had to be baptized. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Furthermore, when Paul said, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not only do they baptize and believe it is a part of your salvation as a sacrament, but they baptize babies who aren't even able to make a decision. So every time you look at all that beautiful white stuff and, oh boy, I wish I could sing like that. I'd run all the people in this church off. That woman is trained, and boy, does she sing that stuff out in those choirs. They're better than the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. What do you think Jesus' group looked like? If you ever saw, you might say, Lord, is Jesus really the Savior? That's terrible. He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able again to stand against the wiles of the devil. Do you know what you saw today? The wiles of the devil. You know all that stuff they're teaching? And do you know this country's following them right now? And do you know you've got crowds screaming and yelling and hollering and you will everywhere he goes? They did the same thing when they crucified Jesus. And how did they treat us when they were in power? I tell you, the problem in this country is that most people get saved and they have no idea what doctrine is. And how I know what it all started. I remember when it all started. I was a young man and they said, we don't want none of that doctrine in the church. Just preach Jesus. Well, that's what we preach in this church. And then those people don't know anything about Jesus. He said, for we wrestle not against principalities, and but against flesh and blood, but against principalities. There's a flesh and blood man right there that they're worshiping is God Almighty. And they say that Mary didn't die. She was immaculate. Huh? Well, that's... They said she had an immaculate death, and to them that means she just really didn't die. Against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and we got plenty of them. Against spiritual wickedness in high place. You see that last word is supplied places? Do you know what that word high is? Uranos. Do you know where it's what is transmitted in the rest of the Bible? In heaven. Spiritual wickedness in heaven? Well, look, we the kingdom of God is consisting of the local churches and the people that are in them, and it's here. That's the remnant here. But the truth of the matter is, you've got wickedness. Why do you think he calls them birds, wicked birds, when he refers to the Catholic Church? Now in 2 Corinthians 11:15, God warned us. You know why those newscasters don't know anything about the Bible? It's because they aren't interested. Because they don't care. They find a church that's convenient, that suits their purpose, business purpose. Those churches are business driven, mammon driven. He says, against spiritual wickedness in heaven, the light in false doctrine is darkness. Jesus said, if the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? You think the devil's dumb enough to have someone go, whoa, looking like Count Dracula? Well, all you got to do is watch these shows where they got these people, the demons, and got all that stuff, and you look on there and you say, do you know what they had all degenerated into in the New Testament? You know why the Lord was so angry? Manmanacher. They worshipped. They believed that there were ghosts and dead people and tried to call them back. Well, you know, why do that? You say, well, Brother McElmurray, listen, I wouldn't get on one of those psych bunches for anything. Because I don't doubt there's some fallen angels around. And I don't sure doubt that they can talk to you. But why should I be going around following the things that they teach when I know the truth now? How can I go back to that after I know this? How could you? You see, you won't go back because you know the truth about Jesus. He says, but what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion for them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. You know what they are? They're a bunch of human beings that are sinners, and that's exactly what we are. But there's a big difference. We not only receive Jesus, we know Jesus. Paul said that I may know him. They don't know anything about Jesus. Most of the people out there in the churches believe you can lose your salvation. Those TV announcers, most of them are Catholic. So they are really giving him the grand treatment. Listen, I don't dislike the Pope. I'm not mad at him. But I'm telling you that he's dark inside because he teaches false doctrine. Did you really expect him to be black as the ace of spades? Did you really expect the devil to be like that? It just doesn't work that way. For such are false apostles. Do you know they had apostles in the Catholic Church? Deceitful workers, that's exactly what they are. That's exactly what he is. You say, you think he knows that? I don't think he has a clue. I think his conscience has been sealed over with a hot iron, and it's sealed over, and he's black as pitch inside, but he is so distorted that he has no idea that all he's doing is wrong. But I'm sure as he grew up, he got sealed over. You say, well, do you know that? No, but surely you're not going to follow a man that believes all that heresy that he believes. He says, deceitful workers transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Well, Satan can be brilliant as light. I don't think he's going to appear to me as some old guy with a long tail and darkish red. I don't, that's ridiculous. Do you know there are some people that believe that? That believe in Jesus? You say, well, I never heard of them. I've heard of them. Lord, I've been so many places. I've heard just about everything. At least I think I have. Therefore, he's their leader. Who do you think is leading the Pope? God? Jesus? You think God is leading the Pope to teach that absolute ungodly, unbelievable heresy? Do you believe Jesus is? Well, Jesus is God. So I'll just say, is God teaching? No! Well, why are they flocking out after him? Same reason they're running away from Jesus. They're running away from Jesus in hordes. Why? Why? Because they don't want to hear the truth. You all have been here so long, you don't mind knowing what you are. Rotten sinners saved by faith that are unprofitable servants. You know that. You think it was easy to come to that conclusion? It was for me because I knew it. But the truth of the matter is, they don't know it. Why? They don't want to know it. You say, well, my best friend's a Catholic. Well, okay. I think some Catholics are going to heaven. They get saved in a Catholic church, and they train them for about 4 years after that to be a Catholic, and they say they'll never leave the Catholic church, and they're right. They thoroughly indoctrinate them. Those teachers are going to have a millstone put around their neck and thrown out in the middle of the ocean. You say, what's going to happen after that? I don't know. There won't be any ocean out there in the final heaven age, so maybe they'll just lay out there and rot. I'm just talking. He says, therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. What's their great sin? What's this darkness inside the Pope? What's this ungodly teaching inside the Pope? Why do I say these things? They add their righteousness to the righteousness of Christ. They think you got to keep on doing good works to keep your salvation. They think, and they taught for years. I don't know if they teach it anymore, but I'm pretty sure they do. You could go to heaven, you got to be in the Catholic Church. I know they did when I was a young man, because I dated some Catholic girls, and I talked to their, whatever they call them, ministers, and they confirmed it. Well, I didn't think that much of the girl. So they weren't that pretty. You never know what I would have done otherwise. He says, whose end shall be according to their works. Okay. Pope believes he has to add to it. He's not going to make it. He's not going to make it. 2 Thessalonians, you say it seems so sad to watch that man doing what he does, those little children and everything, how he loves people and everything. Listen, I've known missionary Baptist preachers, I wasn't sure they were saved. Anybody can put on an act. And this is a good way to make a living if you can take criticism. Good way to make a living if you can take criticism. Just tell people what they want to hear and hug them and squeeze them and love them, and that's all you got to do. 2 Thessalonians 2, 8 to 12. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now, the Pope is not the false prophet. The Pope is not the false prophet. I taught that when I came up here, because I'd been taught that all my life. But I told you several years ago, I can't do that anymore, because he has to be an Islamic. He has to be a member of the Islamic faith. He has to be. Because I didn't know when I first came up here, but I learned after I got up here that the Islamic faith, well, I did know it because they told me over in the Holy Land, and I just didn't pay much attention. They told me that our Jesus was their prophet, and so. I just listened, and I thought, good Lord, and I just went on. But when I came back over here, I really started studying it, and I discovered that the Muslim faith in the Quran teaches that Jesus is their prophet. And they teach that when the Antichrist comes back, he will be the Mahdi, he will go against the world, and he will be the Antichrist. He will be their form of the Antichrist, their Messiah. And then they said that when Jesus died, he didn't die. They said Jesus didn't die. They said that he was a Muslim. And they said he was lifted up into heaven by Allah. And he has been waiting up there to come back. He's still in the flesh. And he's going to come back when the Mahdi is killed, during this great period of time we call the tribulation period, and then he's going to take his place and sweep on to victory. He's the false prophet. So when I discovered that, don't give me that gwint. I taught you that, didn't I, Anime? But that's what's going to happen. Well, who is the false? Who's the Pope? He's just a false teacher. He's an ungodly man. He's full of darkness. He's the leader of absolute heresy. Where do you think all this heresy came from? It came out of the Catholic Church. Where do you think all these churches around here that came out of the Catholic Church? They're Protestant, I am not Protestant. I am from a long line of people, started off with a Donatist, and I went back and researched every one of them. You can take a trail all the way back down the line, and this church teaches what they taught at that time. He says, even him who's coming is after the working of Satan with power and signs and lying wonders. Notice this, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Their ministers are, that brightness also means understanding, but here it's the brightness of his coming, actual brightness. But the truth is, that's what these ministers are. They're teachers of false prophecy. It has no light in it whatsoever. And they glow on the outside, but they're pitch dark on the inside. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth. You know why a lot of people leave this church? They don't love the truth. Oh, they love enough of it to believe, I'm glad I'm saved. But afterwards, they don't love. They don't have the love of the truth. Jesus told Thomas, who had already been saved, scripturally baptized, and was a member of the first New Testament church, he said, I am the way. Thomas said, where are we going? How do we get there? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The disciples didn't know the full truth when Jesus left. But the Holy Spirit, that's why he had to immediately go on up into heaven. He told him he couldn't wait. And he went up, and then he came back, and he came on the church at Pentecost. He empowers it. He's in the middle of this church right now because we're still teaching the truth, no matter how unpleasant it is to the world. And he is still the head of the church. He's still the foundation of it, and he's the only one that ever should be. And so this thing about, and receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. You want to know what the strong delusion is? You're already seeing part of it. The Islamic faith. The Islamic faith is the strong delusion. Do you know what the Pope is spreading? Strong delusion. You say, well, how do you know it's strong delusion? Did you see that on television today? Did you see them follow him with their tongues hanging out in adoration, with the women smiling, with the men clapping, with the singing and dancing? They didn't do that when they went to the cross. They just drug him down there. They got another man to carry his cross and crucified him. These people don't know anything about Jesus, except Jesus saves. Well, I thank God for that because that's the truth, and I believe some people in Catholic Church are saved and should believe a lie, that they might be damned who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You ever hear me tell you that I recommended adultery? I don't recommend adultery, but I tell you that you need to know what God teaches about it and fornication, and you need to know what that is, and you need to know it's wrong. But these people, they exclude you from the church. Al Warren was excluded from the church. He thought he was going to hell. Glenda kept coming down here to me and saying, she had come down the aisle to get saved. And in one of these revivals where a bunch of young women came, every one of them had left the church. But she was real concerned about him going to hell. So she asked me to go out and talk to him. I went out there and I talked and I talked and I talked. Went sat in a swing and I hear these old folk tales and everything. I enjoyed it. I liked him. Finally, he accepted the Lord. And the church baptized him. Al Warren became, at that time, a fanatical Christian. But Glenda Warren didn't want a fanatical Christian. She wanted somebody she knew was saved and was going to heaven. You can tell her if you want. I don't care. She gets mad at me. She got mad at me about this and that, this and that, this and that. Al never did. He was a good friend. I went to his funeral. He was a good friend. Revelation 17, 16, 17. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate, and naked. Now that whore doesn't just mean the whore is the Roman Catholic Church alone. And the Pope is not the false prophet, I guarantee you. But the Pope but the whore has daughters. And who do you think's getting killed over there right now? Do you ever think about that? Who is this getting killed over there? I told you there were saved people in the Catholic Church, didn't I? When I first came up here, I didn't know. But I've told you numerous times, there are saved people in the Catholic Church. You say, well, they're getting killed over there. That's what the Lord said would happen. It makes them martyrs. They're better off being martyrs than going up there like they are now. You say, boy, that sounds cruel. If you put that on out in the street, we'll vacate the pulpit on you. But it's true. And what about these other churches? How many times have I told you those other churches over there? I went and went to the churches over there. See what they believed. They're all out of the Catholic Church, except the ones we sent over there and the Southern Baptist. Well, I've learned a lot since I came up here and made those trips ahead of time and made them after I came up here. He says, shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked. The Pope's going to side with the Palestinians, but he's going to pay a price for it. And boy, when they really start in, they're going to kill him and everybody else. And shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. They've already done that and are going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. For God shall put it in their hearts to fulfill his will and agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, unto the words of God, until the words of God be fulfilled. I preached this all over the United States, this last verse. And I had some people I thought were mad they were going to kill me. And back then I was young and I could hold up my own, I think. He said, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come ye out of her, my people. He's got people in the Catholic Church that are saved. He says, come out of there. You say, well, Brother Michael Murray, they won't come out. You never know what God will do. This is his word. Even if they get mad at me. Most of what I've learned, I learned by getting mad about something. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. I think that may be the reason Chuck Trusty believes that some people are going to go through the vials of wrath. I don't believe that, but it's okay. There's lots of stuff that's... I don't claim to know everything, that's for sure. Okay, let's go over to page B. You're much more familiar with this, and I'll stop in time. See, I got plenty of time. The last war begins in the last days of the next administration. Following the Barack Obama administration reign, Israel attacks Lebanon on ground and Iran in air. To begin non-nuclear war, to start war of 1,335 days. Martyrs begin increase in Revelation Seal 5 when it opened. Seal 6 opens in Rift Valley after Israel is safe in the Negev. It is more stable down there than it is up in the central part of Israel and the northern part, because down there they've got a lot of mountains, and the top of a mountain is the most stable place you can get on. Now that may sound crazy to you. The side of a mountain is the worst thing you can get on. But if you get up on the very top, and over there in Israel, you remember Masada?
Yeah.
Many of them over there are monadnocks. They have flat tops, particularly down in the desert. And I think that it's a more stable area, and earthquakes will not be as severe down there. But when he hits Beersheba, the Antichrist is going to divert because of great earthquakes that occur, because that's when the sixth seal opens. Seal 6 opens in the Rift Valley after Israel is safe in the Negev. and Antichrist rushes across the northern Sinai into Egypt. As a rift earthquake, the very first one in Revelation, a great earthquake, opens the last 1,260 tribulation days for Israel while she is in the Negev. Now, Revelation 6, 9 through 12, and when it opened the fifth seal, it's been open for some time. I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Now, there are many martyrs up there right now, and I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. That doesn't mean those souls were sitting on top of them and they had their feet sticking out one side and their head out of the other side. It meant they were around the altar. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest for a little season until their fellow servants and their brethren. Now here's proof that you're going to go through part of the tribulation period. That should be killed as they were, because if that ain't the tribulation period in the sixth seal, I don't know what the beginning of it, I don't know what it is, because man, it gets rough after that. As they were, should be fulfilled. And I beheld and opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. That's when you remember I told you that when we went through this business about the Olivet Discourse and how it would gradually get worse and worse and worse, slowly, 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 and it would finally come to a head. Well, it comes down to here, and boy, then it really cuts loose, and it just keeps going for the rest of the tribulation period. And I put that in the first book I ever wrote, and people thought I was crazy. Well, I guess they think a lot of people are crazy that aren't. Revelation 12, 1 through 6. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. I've preached that so many times, you can preach it. Her head a crown of 12 stars. That's the woman Israel. And she being with child cried, travailing and pain to be delivered. And the child is Jesus, the Messiah. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and he's come already, Jesus. And there appeared a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns up on his heads. And the tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. Those are the third part of the angelic host. Now he's going to get a third of them. Okay, here's where I don't agree with most preachers. They just say they're going to be the devil's angel he takes with them. That's an assumption, and it may be true. But please don't argue with me on that. Just go ahead, and if you think it's just a third of them, please do it. I get so tired of arguing, and I don't mind being corrected, but I hate to argue. He says, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and the third part of the stars of heaven. Now, there are 3 realms of angels, Michael's, Gabriel's, and Satan's. There's going to be some from each one of those realms that stayed with the Lord. You say, how do you know that? Well, how do you know it's just going to be a third of the devil's angels? They didn't become the devil's angels until they were pulled out of heaven, did they? And did cast them to the earth. They're still down here. This has already happened in the past. And the dragon stood before the woman and was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. He wanted to kill the Christ child. He tried to find out how old he was, and then wanted to send somebody down there to kill him, but God wasn't about to be killed by the Antichrist, by Herod. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, that's Jesus, and her child, he never got to, and was called up unto God and to his throne, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had the place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Now, the thing starts, 1,335 days begins. That's when Daniel's 60 weeks was cut off. Right there, there's 1,335 days left. It takes them about 75 days or so to get into, conquer Jerusalem. And then all of a sudden, Israel's in the Negev, and they've got 1,260 days. Now it says, and the woman fled into the wilderness, which hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. No, I don't want to go into that. I'm tired of saying the same thing so many times. Okay. The king of the south is the ruler of Israel. King of the north will rule greater Syria. Syria, king of north, will counterattack. I'm feeling sorry for myself, as you can tell today, because you don't know what it was like going out there and arguing about these things and having to explain the same thing over and over and over and over again and have preachers meet me at the door and say, I didn't want you down here, brother, but the church elected you to come and I couldn't talk them out of it. Well, isn't that charming? So we fought all week long. And his wife had a heart attack 2 weeks after I left. Isn't that wonderful? How would you like to have people come up that don't know their left foot from their right and think they know everything and start telling you that? How do you think that feels? Well, it was good for me. It was good for me. Now I just roll up in a ball. One of those little things roll up in a ball, that little tiny thing. That's what I do now. Roll up in a ball. And. Well, sometimes I enjoyed being more on the road than I did here. He said, at the time of the end of the Gentile age, the king of the south pushes against the king of the north, but doesn't produce wind as he has in the past. King of the north will conquer Dan to Beersheba and then proceed southwest to conquer all of Egypt, and he will completely surround it. Take it over. He won't do that with Jordan. And then proceed southwest to conquer all of Egypt, but some three and a half years later will be defeated at Armageddon. I got to put some stuff in here that I left out. Oh, March 4th, 2010, martyrs. Now, this is something that it was from, 2010. Daniel 11:40 to 12:1. And at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him. That's the Israel. That's when she launches her planes. That's when she attacks in Lebanon. But the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind with chariots and horsemen and many ships, and he shall enter into the country, shall overflow and pass over. My friend, listen. He knows what Israel's going to do. I know what Israel's going to do. I've always known what she's going to do. She's going to attack. She is going to attack whenever this happens. But I wanted to wait till the very end before I got so cotton-picking definite about it. Because, when they firebombed the Liberty, and with my comrades on that cotton-picking thing, and firebombed it, strafed it, torpedoed it, and it finally got into port, Lord only knows how, there wasn't any doubt in my mind what Israel was going to do if we didn't do something about that cotton-picking bomb, and I knew Obama wouldn't do anything. And do you know what? Donald Trump did his best to avoid that question, because I think he is a Muslim. You say, that's horrible. I didn't say he was a Muslim, but I'm saying he was raised in that. And they say that once you've made a profession, you're a Muslim for the rest of your life. And I will say that as a military man, even an idiot would know more than what he has carried out over there. Anyway, he says, Daniel 11:40 to 41. Well, you see that counterattack? That's pure old counterattack. I remember I showed you how the Lebanese had moved backwards. And the river Venedi here was here, and the mountains were right in front of it. And after they almost whipped Israel, but Israel finally did. Well, they didn't really whip them. And they got stalled out in there. And then they had a truce. Immediately after that, they moved back behind that mountain. They moved, the other side of that river. Israel's going to have trouble with their tanks this time. And they're going to be on the other side of the mountain. And this time when they come across, they'll fight up that mountain. And they'll eventually get across it. But then the Syrians are going to be waiting on the other side. Antichrist and his 10. And they're going to charge right in behind them, catch them in a pincher's movement, and probably slaughter every one of them. So it isn't going to be a pleasant time for Israel. But her troops, at that time, her planes will be hitting the sites over there. At least they won't have to worry about an atomic bomb. But they never did have to worry about an atomic bomb. We're not going to have an atomic war. I've been trying to tell people that for 45 years, and they won't listen. I tried to tell them the National Security Agency. And I said, they're not going to have an atomic bomb. And I've told you why. I'm not going to go back into all that. He says, No, he didn't say, He says, well, we're getting down about 5 till. So I'll just let you read the rest of this. And then it's self-explanatory. And because I wanted to get that first part in. Let me tell you why they're not going to have a war. The Soviets aren't crazy. We weren't crazy. And I tried to convince some of my chiefs ahead of my superiors, you're not going to have a war over there. Because the prevailing wind over there is from the west. And it would blow right, the plume would blow right back on Iran. And think how many Palestinians would be killed. And it would affect Syria. It would affect all their allies. Have you really thought about what Israel has turned into? It's blossoming like a rose. They don't want to blow it up. You say, well, how do you know they're not going to use one? They will be outnumbered by 120-1. Maybe that may be an exaggeration, but I'm sure it is. But they'll have all those nations. They've got the equipment, man. They've got all the sophisticated stuff now. They've got Russian help. They're going to have Chinese help. And so you think that they want to destroy Israel? You think all this stuff about, we will wipe them off the face of the earth. But they won't destroy the earth. I guarantee you they won't. Furthermore, they also know if they were to launch against Israel, as bad as we are and as bad as Britain is and as much as how little we help Israel, they know we'll lower the boom on them. Iran knows we'll do it. I guarantee you. So do the Russians. So do the Chinese. They don't want a war. We taught them how to be prosperous. We taught them how to be prosperous. They want what we've got over here. They don't want to blow up the United States. They won't have to. Because we're not going to launch on them. They're not going to launch on us. But first they're going to have to go against Israel. And so when they come down to destroy Israel, guess what? Guess who's going to help us? God. And guess how they're going to be destroyed? By the movement of the tectonic plates, and all Hades is going to break loose. You don't have anything to worry about an atomic war. And they're on television all the time saying, we've got to get them, we've got to do this. Listen, you don't have to do a blinking thing. And if they want to have that deal, go ahead. And if they want to elect Donald Thump or Trump or Mump or Fiscal Obelia or Hillary Clinton, I don't care. Because then in the last part of that next administration, who cares about global warming? It's a millions of year thing, you know. Who cares about global warming? I know about global warming. That's what I do. And I just cannot figure about why people aren't interested in what the Bible says. How do you think I learned all this? And why did God put me over there? And why did I go through the Mac Academy, Military Academy? Why? I finally answered my own questions. It's because I needed to know this. So I don't go to bed at night. I was one of those that crawled underneath those picnic tables. Our school desk, you know, all under there. Back then, I thought, Lord, we're all going to die. You know, this is the coming of the Lord. They told me Hitler was Antichrist, and then they couldn't make up their mind, said it was Tojo. Then they couldn't make up their mind about Tojo and said it was Hirohito. And then when I started preaching, it was Henry Kissinger. And anyway, you want to dismiss us, Ken?